Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
This is the Bible.
This is
the
Bible.
This is
the
Bible.
How do you say it like me? Revival.
Revival.
There you go. Come on, we in this together. All right, we like to joke around. We like to have a good time. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so I'm here to talk about pursuit. Basically, the hunger behind what you want. I really love Hungry for God because I've been around to a lot of different environments, churches. Well, I don't really want to call some churches, but environments. And this really exhibits the heart of God being here. Understanding that the more you pull on God for, the more you will receive. I'm sorry to say, but Trey, a lot of us have been lied to. Amen? We go to these different places and they tell us that the more we do for God, the better off we are. Right? As if we could possibly work our way into heaven. As if we could do more and more and more and more and more for the Father, and then that would in turn cause him to want to love us more. As if there's anything that could separate us from the love of God, right? Because if there was, then it would be something that could bring us closer, right? So there's nothing that can separate us from God because there's nothing that could bring us closer to who he is. It's exhibited in let's go to John 5 and 39. Can we go there really quickly? Because what they want you to believe is that the more you know about something is equal to you knowing that thing personally. As if, anybody ever been in a relationship in here? Anybody? Yeah, sure. So imagine if there was a book about that person. A book about the person that you dated or are dating currently. How many people will buy that book? Thank you for being honest. I definitely would buy a book if there was a book about a person I did. Probably would be a really big book. But I would buy it nonetheless. And I would want to learn everything that I could about that person. But would it be equal to me actually encountering that person myself? Absolutely not. This kind of reminds me of when you're on a highway or when you're going anywhere and you see these signs. Like a sign that says hospital. If you really need to go to the hospital, you see a sign that says hospital. Imagine getting to the sign itself and feeling security as if you made it to the hospital already. The sign is not the hospital. Search the scriptures, but in them you think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. You see, a lot of us, well, I've been told growing up in the church that the more scriptures you know, the more suits you buy, and the more things you can quote, and the bigger your collar, and the longer your chain, and the bigger your Bible, means the closer you are to God. As if the more scriptures I know mean the more of God I have. But just about the same way we talked about having that book about that person, in no way means that I encountered or interacted with that person. Doesn't mean that. And the problem with living a life where you only know laws is that what happens when you break one of the laws? If your life is built on a foundation of laws, what happens to your foundation when you break those laws? When you break the law, you get hungry for punishment. Right? Because you feel like I built everything around these laws. So if it didn't work out, then man, I messed up. It's all me. It's all my fault. So what do I do now? I must be punished for breaking this law. It's not just you. It happened in the beginning of the Bible. It happened with Adam. Everybody know Adam and Eve? You know the story, right? What happened after Adam ate the fruit? What did he do? He hid. Why did he run out? Because he was scared of the punishment that would happen to him for breaking that law. He didn't really understand who God was. Because as much as people want to tell you that you deserve to be punished for the things that you do, those are not the qualities that God exhibits in the Bible. Because God, who knows all things, knew what Adam did. But still, instead of coming to him with wrath, what did God do? He came to the garden and said, Adam, where are you? So we spent
time, Adam was busy running from God for what he did, and God was running towards him. Seems kind of backwards, if you ask me, from what I've been told my whole life. That if I sin, then I'm ripped out of, you know, I'm ripped out of the presence of God. I'm ripped out of the love of God. That there's nothing he could possibly do for me simply because I messed up. But that's totally opposite from the heart of God. The heart of God says, you sin, that's all right, come back home. You mess up, that's all right, come back home. I want to love you more than you even want to love yourself, apparently, so come back to me. Thank you, Father. Somebody say thank you for that. I thank you for you wanting to love me even when I mess up. In spite of me, God, you want to love me. Kind of reminds me, what you see here, it reminds me of the scripture that says, until you come to the full knowledge of who you are in God, you are no more than a servant, even though you are a son. You know, that's the version, Mark's version. But until you come to the knowledge of who you are in God, you're no better than a servant. You can't have the fullness of who you are, sons of God. Because even the prodigal son, who messed up, and he got to his lowest point, understood that even in my father's house, there are servants who get treated better than what I'm treating myself right now. So you see the difference between a mindset of a son and a servant. A son understands that no matter what happens, my father will not completely, utterly cast me out. There's no way he would do that to me. So that's the mindset of a son, understanding who you really are. So we have to understand we are not servants to this world. We are sons of the Father. Sons and daughters who he always wants us to come back home. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have to be hungry for presence, not permission. And you only can be hungry for the presence of God when you understand who you are in God. And understand who he is to you. Amen. That's why I love David so much. Because no matter what he did, he always wanted the presence of God. Let's go to Psalms 51 real quick. David is a man. Yeah, he is. David's a man. God said it to me. He said, David's a man after my heart. Can you imagine God saying something like that about you? Like, yo, Mark's gone. He's a man after my own heart. That smile, like, you got it. All right. Psalms 51. We got to start at the 10th verse. And we'll see the New Testament mindset in the Old Testament setting. Created me a clean heart. Somebody say clean heart. Never making reference to the sins that he probably just committed, because David was always sin. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So not making mention of what I have done, I need you to create me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Next. Cast me not away from thy presence. I'm not asking God for you to punish me for the things that I've done, because I've already punished myself. I've already went through the mental, the hurt, and the pain, and the worry, and the disgust of what I've done. But all I want you to do, God, is cast me not away from thy presence, because in thy presence is every single thing that I could ever need. Love, joy, peace, forgiveness, grace, mercy is in the presence of the Father. So cast me not away from thy presence. No matter what I've done, no matter what I did, God, cast me not away from your presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Next. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Somebody say free spirit.
Free spirit.
Now you cannot pay for the Spirit of God. There's no amount of good works you could give to pay for the Spirit of God. Scripture says, our righteousness, Isaiah said, and I'm glad he said our, because we're all included in this, is as filthy rags. Imagine you trying to wash dishes with a dirty rag. That's a comparison of you trying to say your salvation is based off of your good works. You wash your dishes with a dirty rag, you're going to make the dishes more dirty than they were before you put the dirty rag in. So if I intend to make my soul salvation, me getting into heaven based off of my good works, I'm going to make my life or my soul and my heart more dirty than it was when I first started. So I have to understand that me getting into heaven, this salvation, this thing that we call salvation, is nothing more than God saying, listen, I love you in spite of who you are. And there's nothing I can do to get more of it. And there's certainly nothing I can do to get less of it, as long as I believe who God is to me. Amen. Whew, I thank God. So if we live our life based on our own righteousness, we're making things worse. Making things worse than what they really are. I need you to understand one thing. Let's keep going real quick before I get ahead of myself. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This is very important. The reason we go through the things that we go through is simply so that others won't have to go through the things that we went through. Amen? Then I will teach transgressors thy ways. So when I mess up, and I go to God boldly, and I say, you know what, I messed up, and I need you to rescue me from this, I need you to forgive me, I need you to just keep your presence with me, create in me a clean heart. God forgives you, you have the joy, you go to talk to somebody else and let them know about what you did, and they don't have to go through that. Amen? We overcome by our testimonies. That's why I love the body of Christ so much, and that's why I love when we come together so much, and I love community, because in community we gain strength. That like the enemy understands one thing. If I divide you all, then it's easier for me to conquer you all. That's what he always tries to do. He tries to divide and conquer. He makes you not want to come to church on Sunday morning. I'm really tired. Well, Sunday afternoon, I'll be, you know, hour a day, I don't want to go. Makes you not want to come to church on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever you go to your weekday services. I'm too tired, I don't want to go. I just want to stay home. Separating you from the community of believers, separating you from the strength that you can gain from overcoming from other people's testimonies. And it's funny that the devil does these things, knowing that he doesn't even do things like that himself. When the enemy tried to take over heaven, what did he do? He went and got it to you. So here goes the devil trying to make you understand that you're stronger by yourself. And he wouldn't even do it by himself. By himself. He wouldn't even attempt to go alone. Because he understood their strength in numbers. And understand everything that he can gain from community. Then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Something so powerful about being a witness. People spend their whole lives trying to be lawyers. People spend their whole lives trying to be judges. Not physically, but spiritually.
Come on.
When all God called us to be is witnesses. He called you to go into that courtroom to sit down and tell the jury what you see and what you experienced. And that's our cases of one. Simply by great witnesses. Somebody say amen. I'm a witness for the Lord. And sinners shall be converted unto me simply because of great witnesses. Next verse. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Deliver me from the things that I have done. Deliver me from the blood on my hands. Deliver me from my sins and my transgressions. O God, thou God of my salvation. You're the only reason I'm saved. God's the only reason I'm saved. God's the only reason I'm saved that I have an opportunity to even be a believer and to make it into heaven. Because it's only because of God. Not because of anything I can do. God bless you, man. And family. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I don't know about you, but there's joy in being forgiven. And there's joy in understanding who God is to you. So much joy that it makes you want to scream out it and yell and just be happy about what God has done for you. I'm so glad that I understand this one thing, the kingdom of God is voice activated.
Come on.
Oh, my radio show, we drop bombs like Funk Flex. I wish they had it right now. The kingdom of God is voice activated. Somebody say amen. That's why it says, I will sing aloud of thy righteousness. I love David so much because he understood singing and rejoicing and speaking things on the way God works. The kingdom of God is voice activated. And it actually, so here's where we get to what we want to talk about. You're hungry. David was not hungry for punishment. He was hungry for the presence of God. And he understood that he would get the presence of God by the things that he says. The things that he says. He would receive the presence of God. Prayer is extremely important, as we learned about last week. But I don't want to say that it's more important or you know, I think it's equally as important to have a hunger for what you're praying for. Because ultimately, your hunger determines what comes out of your mouth. Nobody's going to ask you anything that they don't want to eat, right? That you don't want. So if you don't have the right appetite, then you can't expect to be receiving the right food, right? Because you would never ask for something that you're not hungry for. no, seriously. Anybody ever heard the term generational curses?
Yeah.
So I believe in generational curses, right? I don't know if you do, but I do. But I understand one thing, that generational curses are passed down through the words that the parents speak to their children. Because the scripture says faith comes by hearing, right? And I'm here to tell you today that the enemy cannot create anything. He simply uses what God does and twists it. The word wicked is from wicker, twisted. He twists things to use them for himself. So if faith comes by hearing, then things outside of God like fear and doubt come from hearing as well. So he uses these things and give you words that are opposite or contrary to the word of God. So these things are passed down to others simply by the words that they say. So we understand how powerful words are, right? They create vicious cycles, like somebody don't ever have no money. And all they say is, man, I ain't never got no money. You're actually, like if you got a menu, ordering, I ain't got no money. Well, I can't ever find a good man. Oh. If there was a menu, you would be ordering, I ain't never got no good man. And wondering why it's always on the table before you. See, God looked down on the world and saw it darkness. He didn't speak what he saw. He spoke what he wanted to see. Malo. He didn't speak what he saw. He spoke what he wanted to see. It's important that we understand we have to, the kingdom of God's voice activated, and we have to speak what we want to see. Let's go to James really quickly. James 4. Our appetite is very important. Because if we don't hunger for the things of God, we will never receive the things of God. You see, a lot of people are asking for revival. A lot of people are asking to be revived, as if there's some special revival kit. Or something that you can order in the mail that will instantly change, you know, transform you to what you want to be. Yeah. It all starts with a hunger. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they look. Yeah. Physically. You can tell if they like to eat a lot. You can tell if they like to eat a lot of, you know, the wrong food. I'm watching. I'm just being honest. You can tell a lot about a person spiritually. Bible comes out of their mouth. You can tell if they read the word a lot. You can tell the type of TV shows they watch. You can tell a lot about me, by the things I say. I need to stop listening to so much trap music. Ooh. I'm good about this. No, seriously, no. You can tell a lot about a person by their appetite and what they hunger for. Because it's exhibited by their physical appearance and by their spiritual appearance. Amen? Let's go to James 4 and 7. Because we want revival. As if there's a way to get revival without hungering after God. As if is there a way to get God inside of you without saying, Father, take over who I am. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's go to 8 and then we'll come back to it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Somebody say, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Let's say it again. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. The closer you want to get to the Father, the closer he'll be able to get to you. The more you want of him, the more he can come to you. The more hungry you are for God, the more you will receive. And if this is a menu, and the more you order him, the more you
shopping at bicycle stores. I can't be asking for more faith, but everything that comes out of my mouth is fear. I can't be asking for more wealth, but everything that comes out of my mouth is poverty. And everything I hunger for is the opposite of what I feel like I need. Because believe it or not, I believe personally that everybody is in the situation they're in because of something that's going on inside of them. Every deficiency you have in your life, or everything that's not looking like heaven, is simply a place that you did not allow God to overtake inside of you. No bad breaks. Allow God to overtake you totally. Allow him to overtake your mind. Hunger for him to overtake your mind. Hunger for him to live inside of your heart. Hunger for him to take over your body and your lives and your job and school and relationships and your finances. Let him do it. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Let's go back to 7 really quickly because it's really important to understand. It's really simple. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you do not resist the devil, you see, one of my biggest problems was two things I had wrong with the story. Not wrong, but I thought were crazy about the story of Adam and Eve. Number one, there's no way I'm letting any man talk to my woman for as long as the devil talked to Eve without me being there. That's just the type of person I am. The first head nod would have went to her. And the second one would have went to him. All right, brother. But in here, we understand the power of entertaining conversation with the devil. Because initially, what did God say? Everything else you can eat from, except for this tree, is not good for food. All right? Every tree is good in here, but I don't want you eating from that tree. So at what point of time did that tree go from not looking good to something that I would want to partake of? In that one conversation with the enemy. So that's why it says resist the devil, because if you even entertain him, you're leading yourself from something possibly that you would never see yourself doing to you here with your hand pulling down some forbidden fruit. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God, because if I'm submitted to God, there's no way I could even entertain the devil. If I'm in constant conversation with the Father, there's no way I could be talking to the enemy. If I'm dancing with my Father, there's no way God is going to let him cut in. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Go back to 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Because the more you entertain the enemy and keep coming back to your first love, it causes you to be double-minded. It causes you to not be submitted totally and wholly to what you know is right. It's very serious to understand what we hunger after, that's what we shall receive. Because whatever you want, whatever you desire, that's what you're going to speak, and that's what's in turn going to be presented to you. Hebrews 4:16. Thank God. Somebody say thank God. You know, this is a very important word because we have to understand that our desires are ultimately shaping our lives. Our desires are ultimately shaping our lives. And if we don't desire the right thing from God, if we don't desire to receive his presence instead of punishment, that's all we will ever receive is punishment. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This is what God wants for us, and this is what the enemy plays on over and over and over again. He wants us to understand that no matter what you've done, if it's revival you want, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, no matter the things you've said, you have the power and the right to enter boldly to the throne of God, and boldly to his presence. There is nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of the Father. It's all about what you're hungry for. You see, it's not that we don't want God. It's just that sometimes, without us even knowing, because of the things that we were taught, we want punishment more than we want his presence. We want to feel like we need to give what we deserve simply because that's what the world exhibits. In the world, when you break a law, you go to jail or you pay a fine. The world says, I want to repay you. But God says, I want to restore you. It's all about what you're hungry for. It's all about your appetite. Right now, here today, I feel our appetites are being changed. And our hunger is being changed. Our desire for the Father is being increased. And in turn, the things that we do and the things that we think are changing simply because of what we want from God. Does anybody feel their desire being increased? Does anybody feel their hunger changing? Is it all right if we pray together? All right, everybody stand up.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.